Blog Talk Radio.
Abraham seed. But this make he of the spirit read,
which they that believe on
him should do what?
Should receive.
Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Just like you receive the engrafted word of Yah, which is able to save your soul. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. John 14, verse 26. John 14, 26. Listen to this. One more and after this and we done. And we still ain't done. Come on with it, brother.
But the Comforter. Which is.
You know that one that really feels good. Sometime when you need to be held, can't nobody hold you like the Holy Spirit can. Can't nobody comfort you like Yah can. The one that has said, I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. Hallelujah. 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 The one that really makes you feel good. The one that really makes you feel alive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The one that said, I will come and I will suck with you. Hallelujah. I won't leave you. I won't forsake you. I will be with you always, even unto the end of the world. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, the Ruach HaKodesh. Hallelujah. The same Spirit that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with Yah, and the Word was Yah. Hallelujah. Everything that was made, hallelujah, was made by Him. Hallelujah. Glory to the King. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That same Spirit, hallelujah, whenever He was revealed, and John the Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of Yah that is able to take away, hallelujah, the sins of the world, your sins, my sins, your neighbor's sins, the uncircumcised sins, hallelujah, of the world. Glory to the King. Glory to the King. That same Spirit that prophet, hallelujah, said, it is like fire shut up in my bones. Hallelujah. That same fire, hallelujah, whenever fire touches something, it can't remain in its present state. Hallelujah. That same fire that descended on the day of Pentecost on a feast day. Hallelujah. Hey, hallelujah. Fire! Fire! Hallelujah! And they had cloven tongues like that as of fire. Can you say amen? Glory to the King. Hallelujah! And Yah is a consuming fire. Glory to the King.
All right, all right, all right, all right. Bless y'all. Shalom, shalom, saints of the Most High Yah. Teacher Greg here on Super Bowl night. Yeah, we're going to get into that too. Hallelujah. Can I get some tens in here? Some tens if we y'all can hear me well. Also on Blog Talk Radio. Let's see if we get some tens in here. Hallelujah. All right. All right. We're looking pretty good on Blog Talk. And all right. Getting some tens on YouTube. I'm liking it. All right. All right. All right. All right. Here we go. Doing good. Well, hey, bless you, saints. I hope y'all doing well. Very, very well in the land of the living. I'm thankful to be here. It's always a privilege, and it's definitely an honor to be here in the midst of this wicked and perverse generation. But, of course, being in the world, not of the world, it's a wonderful thing. Hallelujah. Just want to make sure I give, more than anything, all honor. Hallelujah. To the Most High Yah. All honor, all esteem to the Father in heaven. And also blessings to our beloved leaders, all of our pastors, our elders, teachers, deacons, and even the heads of your own households. Hallelujah. Bless you all this evening. It's wonderful evening. We're going to have I'm pretty sure this will be a treat, but I need to definitely recap on one thing for sure. And this past week, y'all, we've had so many powerful shows this week. Hallelujah. I mean, Hold Fast was just wonderful. Hold Fast was wonderful. We had Blog Talk, extremely wonderful. Went back and listened to that. And hey, who can even forget Shabbat service? I'm sure you were pricked on Shabbat service. I know I was. I do bless the Most High Yah for using his especially ordained vessel, Pastor Dial, to really bring forth that word. It was extremely edifying, very wonderful, and I'm sure it put a defibrillator on the minds of Israel. I'm really sure it did, man. It did for me. Hallelujah. It really, truly did, you know. So, without further ado, we're going to keep on going. Super Bowl. Yeah, this is a Super Bowl, and I'm sure there's a lot of folks probably tuned in to that. Well, I mean, hey, this is what it is. I'm in this walk to win the Super Bowl for my soul. Hallelujah. I'm here to win the Super Bowl for my soul. Period. Hallelujah. I mean, think about it. We are in a race. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians 9:24-25. Know you not that they which run in a race run all of them run, but one receives the prize. So run that you may obtain, Hallelujah. And every man that strives for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown. But saints, I personally believe if you're here, and if you're part of this ministry, you're here to do this to gain and obtain an incorruptible crown. Hallelujah. Incorruptible. Hebrews 12:1. Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which do so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us all. Hallelujah. Saints, we are going to dive into the Father's reign. Hallelujah. His reign. Because his reign, he's coming. The kingdom is coming. The king is coming. All right. His reign is coming, so don't miss the kingdom. And that's what this is about, you know, not missing out on the kingdom. And, you know, we have this opportunity, this privilege, okay, that is afforded to us, okay, by his election to be reigning with him. Hallelujah. To reign with him. Exodus 15:17-18 in RSV. You brought them in and planted them on the mountain of your own possession, the place, O Yah, that you made your abode, the sanctuary that your hands have established. Yahweh will reign. He will reign forever and ever. Glory to the King. Now, Revelation 20:6. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. The first resurrection. On such the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of Yah and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. Who wants to inherit that? Who wants to make it to New Jerusalem? Who wants to inherit the reign and reign with our King? We can't miss it, though. Hallelujah. We just can't miss it. Now, a while back, 2012, okay, and this is what motivated me to go this direction today, to go this direction on his reign, to do a teaching on his reign, because in 2012 was we met Mother Carol and Pastor Dial. Pastor Dial and Mother Carol, we met them in 2011, okay, but they came to visit, and Pastor came to preach in 2012 in Houston, all right, and when they came, all right, Pastor ended up baptizing one saint, and, you know, some people came to fellowship, and the fellowship began there at my house, and some people didn't, but that was a very impactful time And when they came and visited, you know, that's when we start realizing the man of Yah that we're dealing with, because my goodness, he came into my big old house and looked around and was like, yeah, there's too much house for me. Yeah, you got to sell this one day. You know, I'm just like, hmm. But then they gave us the story of the of old Straightway aforetime and the way that they got this thing started and got it built. And we knew we were dealing with a not only a serious man of Yah, but as a community, serious people. Well, at the time, Mother Carol, I forgot the conversation, but she had requested a song, okay? She requested a song, and the other day I actually went and listened to that song after I was reminiscing about that time when they came to visit us, youngsters, in Houston. And I'm going to play that song right now, because that song was, to me, the time when she requested it, it was extremely powerful, and it never left me, never one time, okay? So I'm going to play this here, and I really want y'all to comprehend the words that's coming out of this woman's mouth. Hallelujah. Check this out. It's all about his reign, and we're going to reign with him 1,000 years. Hallelujah.
It's going to be when Jesus, I think, shall come back and rule as king. There'll be peace throughout the land. Will be changed and bound with suffering. 1,000 years, he can offer us again. He'll be cast down into the bottomless pit. Hallelujah. And you remain until the 1,000 years. Thank you. nation. The black and the white, the rich, the poor. There will be no more segregation. I declare about it. There will be no more wealth crisis. There will be no more energy crisis. There will be no more food and love.
About y'all, but that song gets me every time. It gets me every single time, because it is, he is coming back. And you think about this, we're not going to have any more crisis, just like the song was saying. We ain't going to have no more of this voting. We're not going to have any more of these Democrat, Republican people tearing things up all the way around us, but it's going to be his government. His government. And if you make it to his government, you're going to reign with him as well. And that's my plan. My plan is to keep striving and keep my hand to the plow so I can make it to his millennial reign. So I can make it to reign with him for good. Hallelujah. And like I said, this song gets me every single time because it's just so heartfelt. And of course, it's all scripture at the same time. None of this other mess that they got going on out there in the world. But man, I'm telling you, transparent gold, hallelujah, that's how it's going to look out there in this kingdom. It describes it in Revelation, hallelujah, it describes it in Revelation. And I'm just telling you, I get flabbergasted every time when people want to sit here and lead this thing. I really get stirred up a little bit when people are wanting to put their hands to this plow and they can be here 5, 10, 20 years and sitting here playing Israel. And next thing you know, for whatever reason, something crawls up their ass and they want to sit there and take their hand off. And I promise you, one thing that my brother and I used to say in Houston back then is the door is right there. And we are not in the business of chasing you. You want to go out there and go to hell, go to hell. But I ain't going with you. You ain't taking me along. Not one bit whatsoever at all. When I gave up all these things, when I gave up that house, when I gave up the motorcycles, when I gave up the way I was living and everything like that, it was because I knew that this was a direction to go in. This was it. You know, it's amazing when you come to Israel how people have their own reasons to come. You know, some folks have ulterior motives for getting here. They see that Pastor Dow's gonna hold men accountable, so women may want to come here just for a man. You got brothers who sit there, vagabonds, have a vagabond spirit, and they know that, oh man, if I get a part of the community, I ain't got to worry about nothing. It's just sad. But I can't see living no other way besides being communal. I can't. Being set apart? Come on, man. But yes, millennial reign, it is coming. It is coming, and you better beware, because that's exactly what this entire teaching is about. It's about whether you can look in that mirror, okay, at yourself each and every day and making sure you're doing something for the king, doing something for the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom. And where's the kingdom? Right here. Hallelujah. Right here. Revelation 21 through 27. Hallelujah. The 12 gates were 12 pearls. Each individual gate was of one pearl. And the street of the city was pure gold, like transparent glass. But I saw no temple, for Yahweh Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need for the sun or of the moon to shine in it, for the glory of Yahweh illuminated it. The Lamb is its light, and the nations of those who were saved shall walk in its light, and the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gates shall not be shut at all by day. There shall be no night there. and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who were written in the Lamb's book of life. Question. Hallelujah. Saints, ask yourself this, okay? Do you have resistance within? Resistance that will hinder you from that true spiritual transformation. Truly. Is there any resistance in there? We're going to go over this resistance I'm talking about. Believe it or not, we have saints, we do, that refuse. They refuse to change. Saints who refuse to die to the old wretched man as if they didn't come out of something. This resistance, okay? This resistance. Let me go ahead and get y'all, throw this up for y'all. Hallelujah. So this resistance, okay, by definition, all right, is the act or power of resistance. That's a power, okay? Opposing or withstanding. Look at this. Opposition to an attempt to bring repressed thoughts or feelings into consciousness. This may go a couple ways, hallelujah. But think about that. Opposition to an attempt to bring repressed thoughts and feelings into consciousness. All right? You may have thoughts or feelings or emotions or disgruntlements that you have repressed, but you're opposed to even make an attempt to bring them things out so you can be free, so you can be delivered. Now, this repression is underlined. Why? I'll tell you exactly why. This repression is the rejection, get this, the rejection from consciousness of painful or disagreeable ideas, memories, feelings, or even impulses. Some people don't even want to bring up these certain things inside of them to get free because they're too embarrassed to do it. So you got this repression and this resistance to sit there and get free and make a change. Back to this resistance in the 1828 Webster. The act of resisting. Opposition. Now remember I said earlier, this can go two ways. Resistance is passive, as that of a fixed body which interrupts the passage of a moving body. Really? So you can have all these saints that are serious minded, moving forward, but your ass is staying still and you stagnant. Just a stagnant. Now imagine a body of water like a river and somebody putting a dam right there. That dam is resisting the current, or trying to resist the current. And whatever water can pass by is going to keep on moving. So you can be resistant in that form, but then you got this one. Or it could be active. Your resistance can be active, as in the exertion of force to stop, repel, or even look at this, defeat progress or designs. How many of you out there defeating your progress? You can really make progress. You can really get up and get out there and do something. You can put something before your face that will teach you something each day. Or you can get up and keep up with your routine. You know what I mean? Whether it's reading the word and devotion to the Most High, working out, work that body. Though exercise profits a little, it does profit. Bottom line is you can literally be active by just repelling and defeating your progress. Or the designs. Now, mind you, I'm talking about this resistance because, honestly, some of y'all can resist the kingdom and don't even know it. Sitting there resisting the kingdom because you don't want to change. Resisting the kingdom because you don't want to come to terms with who you really are and get free from that person. I asked a sister the other day. I said, hey, you know, deep down inside, there's that spirit woman that wants to rise up, but you keep on letting that old passive woman destroy the pathway for that spiritual woman to come on out. What is it? What is it in you that does not want to grow? What is it in you that just wants to be stagnant? You just still. While everybody else is growing, while everybody else is moving forward, while everybody else is literally putting one foot before the other and tightening that grip on the plow, you got loose fingers on the plow. Your feet is planted. You ain't moving. And what's amazing to me is we have the most amazing preachings and teachings in this ministry. Hallelujah. And this folks has been here for years, and they're the exact same that you see them today as they was 8, 9, 10 years ago. That is sad. And you're supposed to be sitting here with the brothers working on. You got a head covering on and a skirt, you know what I'm saying? And you look like Israel. You act like Israel. You keep the Sabbath like Israel. You eat clean like Israel. Yeah, you do. But you miss one thing, and that's that full-on transformation that comes from within. And if you got the Spirit of Yah and any of the Holy Spirit conviction, love how Pastor Dow puts it. You got the Holy Spirit, you reading that word, you're going to change. You're going to be compelled to change. Yes, you are. Otherwise, you're just a zombie around here, and you probably just moving on here with the saints because you see benefits to it. Some people are rather selfish. Hmm? And some folks just look at the work of somebody else's hand and think they can come on and inherit that and bring their bullshit right along with them. Not seeking them first the kingdom, but more so trying to crumble down and bring division. And in bringing division and staying out of Yah's order, you're already in violation of receiving his kingdom. Hmm? Saints, we got enough death around us, okay? Enough death around us. But we don't have to be dead. Hmm? We don't have to be dead. Now, I mentioned this because before Shabbat service, before Pastor gave us that wonderful message this past Shabbat, Elder Mitchell was up talking to us, huh? And Elder Mitchell was talking about, because he'd been back on the road, and he was talking to us about how, man, we must be far removed from these people around us, because as he's out there and he's talking to these other men that are driving out there, that are in these trucks out there and stuff like that, these heathens that he's speaking to or they need his help or something, man, he said, all I kept hearing from them was death. That's it. Death. Now, how many of you that come from out there are bringing death in here? How many of you? How many of you came from out there and you still got all this remnant of who you was? You know the only reason why you got a remnant of who you was, right? Because you coming into the knowledge of the truth and supposed to be renewed in your mind. Now you have to obey. Now you have to be in the order of Yah. And the order of Yah don't suit what you want, or it don't suit your needs, or it wasn't what you thought it was going to be. You seen somebody's community from afar and was like, that looks good. And as soon as you get your ass in there, you're like, man, what did I get myself into? Just saying. Death, man, is just all around us. Like, and the crazy part about this death being all around us when we go out from home to work or we go to the stores and stuff like that, the crazy part about this death being all around us, okay, is that we come to something. We come to the walk. We, and I'm going to use the words of Elder Austin back then, we won the lottery. Hmm? We won the lottery. They still out there. Your family still out there. Your brother, your mother, your sister, your daddy, they all still out there. But you here. And it's amazing how so many saints still ain't taking this serious. The kingdom could be a breath away for some of y'all. Think about that. One breath away. The moment you take your last breath, that's the kingdom. You gone. But what did you do beforehand? Hmm? What? All this death around us, okay? All this damn death around us. Look at what happened today. Before this broadcast, huh? I'm from Houston, Texas. And right there in Houston, Texas, Joel Osteen Church had an active shooter in it today. Yep, had an active shooter. And I promise you, when they had this active shooter, okay, now mind you, we got a pastor that not only teaches us to not just bear arms and train with the arms, but be ready to defend yourself. Pastor offered all these people to come down there and train them and so on and so forth. But you know, that church that Joel Osteen's at, that big old stadium, that's where the Houston Rockets used to play, used to be called the Summit. And that place is filled with thousands and thousands of people in multiple services every Sunday. This so happened to be the afternoon service called the Spanish service. Okay? And they had an active shooter in there. Death all around them. Even in the church. Death all around them. So this time, the active shooter, from the reports I was listening to earlier today, was that it was a woman. Look at that. With a long rifle, they call it. A long rifle, and she had a child with her, supposedly a five-year-old. Well, they finally gunned her down, and the cops ended up shooting a five-year-old who's in critical condition right now, according to the reports that was down there in Houston. And so, you know, I just looked at that, and I said, man, look at that. Look at that. Besides being in Israel and being among the saints and being in the right place with the right people, with folks who are like-minded, look at all the death that's around us. But Yah got us covered. And some of you want to release your hand from this plow. The nerve. The nerve, man. I don't get it. I don't get it. And you got folks that been here, tasted and seen that Yah was good. It's like they tasted that Yah was good. Just to go back and chew on some vomit. It's a damn shame, thanks. But yeah, my brother seen that. He was just like, think about that. And look where we're at. Look what we're building. Look at these communities that came up over these years. We remember when Pastor Dow and Straightway was just one community. We remember when Georgia came up. And then now you look at today and all these communities, all of us raising our children, homeschooling our children, protecting our Ishas, you know what I'm saying? And the children being homeschooled, and the women ain't got to get on no job to where they're going to be harassed by another man, be it their boss or coworkers or whatnot. We got it right here. We got it made. We won the lottery. But guess what? Some folks want to give that lottery, that prize, they want to give it back. And I think it's a damn shame. I truly, truly, truly think it's a damn shame. We need to pick it up, Israel, and we need to make sure that wherever you at in your prospective places, especially if you're on community, and that community got a vision, man, you're in a great, great position. And that's why we're going to go into the garment. Your garment. You're responsible for it, huh? Yes, indeed you are. Matthew 22, 1 through 14. And Jesus answered and spoke to them again by parables and said, the kingdom of heaven is like a certain king who arranged a marriage for a son and sent out his servants to call those who were invited to the wedding, and they were not willing to come. And again, he sent out other servants saying, tell those who are invited, see, I have prepared my dinner. My oxen and fatted cattle are killed, and all things are ready. Come to the wedding. But guess what they did with their gluttonous ass spirit? They made light of it and went their way. Don't get it twisted, saints. Gluttony is not just because you're big and you overeating and stuff like that. I did a teaching on that a while back, the relationship between gluttony and rejection. And a glutton is also someone that makes light of the word of Yah, someone that makes light of it. But see, in verse 5, they made light. They made light of it and went their way, one to his own farm, another to his business. And the rest seized the servants and treated them spitefully and killed them. But the king heard about it, and he was furious. And he sent out his armies and destroyed those murderers and burnt up their city. Then he said to his servants, the wedding is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy. Therefore, go into the highways and as many as you find, invite to the wedding. So those servants went out into the highways and gathered together all whom they found, both good, both bad. And the wedding hall was filled with guests. But when the king came in to see the guests, he saw a man there who did not have on a wedding garment. So he said to him, friend, how did you come in here without a wedding garment? And he was speechless. Let me tell y'all something. Like, this just reminds me of something. And Pastor Corey, if you listen, I know you're probably gonna remember this one here. Okay. Now see, we was at that Hebrews to Negroes conference. Okay. From Texas, me, Elder Mitchell, Brother McNabb, you know, we was all there. So they had many different classes going on, so on and so forth. But the last thing was the white party. Let's think about this for a second. We're going now to the Hebrews and Negroes white party. And you know what we were doing? Yeah, I'm gonna throw us all on the sword. We run into the malls. We running all over these stores out there around the area, around Michigan, trying to find white shoes, make sure we had the all white so we could make it to this all white party. And we were scrambling, running around trying to get that stuff. Shouldn't that be the way we are today, trying to scramble to the kingdom? We was running around that place trying to find, make sure we was good for the white party. We wanted to make sure that we was not going to look like we were standing out like a sore thumb. We didn't want to look like that. Oh, no. Pastor Corey, like, hey, Greg, you found what you needed? I said, nah, man, I'm trying to find some shoes now. I got what I need. I'm trying to find the shoes. Shouldn't we be that damn zealous for the kingdom? This is for a damn Hebrews to Negroes party, which or get together, whatever this is, whereas the majority of them people didn't even show up. I'm talking about after Pastor Dow got through preaching and they see what Straightway's doing, we only gathered maybe one or two people. Or Yahweh gathered one or two people. Michael Israel was one of them. But shouldn't we be that eager, that zealous? We was running everywhere trying to find that stuff, going to every store we could, trying to go to this store, that store, shoe stores, trying to make sure we was all white. And wearing all white, we was going to actually be presentable for the white party. And most of them jokers ain't nothing but heathens, Hebrew Christians. But think about that for a second. Now, how many of you ever been to a party and it's supposed to be a white party, or it's supposed to be a black party, or it's supposed to be a specific way you're supposed to go in there dressing, you know, dressed to impress or so on and so forth, and you went in that joint, you weren't even dressed to impress. How'd you feel? Or if you went in there, you didn't hear the memo. You come in there with jeans and a blue shirt and everybody wearing white. You going to sit there and look around like, oh, shit. Well, I didn't know that. You going to feel some kind of way. But see, look at how we was doing. We got to look good for this thing. We got to be presentable before this thing. We got to have it. That's exactly how giddy we should be for the kingdom. Every single morning you open your eyes, just like Pastor was telling us, he breathed y'all. And to delight yourself in Yah is for Yah's word to be delicious unto you, for the king to be delicious, his way to be delicious unto you. That's for real. But look at verse 12. So he said to him, friend, how did you get in here without a wedding garment? The man was speechless, probably because he didn't come in at the door. Probably because he came in through the window. Or maybe he came in through the laundry chute. Maybe he came in through the back door. Maybe somebody let him in through a hole. But he didn't come through the front door because his ass would have got checked at the door. I'm just saying. He would have got checked right at the door. Hallelujah. Oh, man. Hallelujah. Y'all's good. Then the king said to the servants, bind him hand and foot. Take him away. And cast him in the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. For many are called, but few are chosen. And we sitting here, many are called, few are chosen. We got all these Christians out here, Muslims out here, everything else out there. But we got the King of Glory. And you have an opportunity to be among the few. Among the few. But wouldn't that be terrifying? Come on, saints. Wouldn't that be terrifying to get to the kingdom. Hmm? You got to the kingdom. You're sitting at the table with the saints. You see Job over there. Dang on Job, man. You see Jacob over here. Whoo, that's Jacob. That's got to be Jacob. You see Moses glowing over there. Oh, Moses, I want to hear from him. I want to see how it was. I want to see how it was in the wilderness. Yeah. Man. Oh, there go King David. King David just sat down. Oh, brother. Hey, brother, man. Look, King David, man. Look, King David right there. Oh, hallelujah. I made it to the kingdom. So glad. So glad I made it to the kingdom. So glad I made it to the kingdom. Next thing you know, just to get checked and rebuked by the king himself. Hey. You. How'd you get in here? I mean, I sat down. You just sat down, huh? So you think you belong here? I don't know you. I never knew you. Never knew you. Hey, guards. Get him. And then your ass be thrust out. And you know why? You get thrust out? Tell you exactly why. Because a bunch of us love to play Israel. We playing Israelite. But we resist the inner change. Inner change. Yes, that inward man. Come on. That inward one. Hmm? Let it sink in, saints. Hmm? That's why you can get thrust out. So that means a lot of us probably going to make it to the kingdom, but damn it, you just ain't staying. This is why you got to make sure that your election is sure. I want my election sure. I want it sure. Do you want yours sure? Hmm? Do you? Or do you want to be on the shores of hell? Not me. I refuse. We got descriptions we read earlier of the kingdom. You think I'm missing the kingdom? You heard the song earlier, and it's in the word. Satan ain't going to sit there and be able to bother us. Ain't going to be none of this hatred. Ain't going to be no more wars. No more fighting. No more suffering. No more tears. No more stress. And you want to give this up? The kingdom. You're going to give up walking on transparent gold streets. You're going to give up gates of pearls. You're going to give up 1,000 years reigning with the king, which ain't number the day to him. You're going to give that up. All because you don't want to change the inner man. You don't want to change for nothing. And if, I'm telling you right now, if you a damn repeat offender, and people have been trying to tell you for years, over and over, over and over and over and over and over again, and you still can't make that change, but you want the kingdom. But you want the kingdom. The problem is you want it on your own merit. You want it on your own terms. You want the kingdom to be given to you, but you don't want to give nothing to the king. So much is given, much is required, and he gave us a lot. Just your very breath is given to you every day. Just your very breath is afforded to you. Like I tell people on a consistent basis, you don't. We are made in the image of Yah. We don't function on electricity. You don't plug our ass up to a wall. Nobody has batteries in their back. Huh? Ain't nobody working on diesel fuel here. We are literally living and our hearts are pumping and our lungs are receiving the breath of Yah. Look at this. This is the best machine ever made in the galaxy, in the world, in existence. Why? Because it functions off the breath of Yah. And the moment he takes that breath from you, you can't go back and reset this thing. You can't go press the reset button like on your old Nintendo. We cannot resist the inner change. The inner change. Anybody can look like Israel. just like anybody can look like a so-called Christian. But you can deny the power. But I don't want to miss his kingdom because I want palms in my hand. Hallelujah. Second Ezra. Second Ezra 2:38-40. Rise and stand and see at the feast of Yahweh the number of those who have been sealed. Don't you want to be sealed? Don't you want to be sealed? Then how come pastors? How come your elders? How come your deacons? How come your teachers? How come they got to rebuke you on a regular basis? You can't get it right. That's okay. Because there's an old analogy. My brother used a long time ago. It's like a sack of marbles in a net bag. How many of y'all used to go to the store and buy a sack of marbles in a net bag? It had like a little net bag. You know what I mean? And you hold that thing at the top and you keep on twisting that shit. And you keep on twisting. You keep on twisting. And you keep on twisting until that marble pop out. See, that's the serious minded saints going to praise your ass out. Rebuke you out. Hallelujah. And just righteousness yourself out. Because when you are evil as hell, there come a time when you can't stick around. Why do that? But rather be sealed. It seems to me that some folks like to close their ears, close their eyes, just like Isaiah the prophet told us, so that they cannot even be healed. But I promise you this, I damn sure am not about to turn back, because I left everything back there and ain't nothing out in Houston, Texas for me. I guarantee you. Rise and see at the feast of Yahweh, his seasons, the number of those who have been sealed, those who have departed from the shadow of this age, have received glorious garments of Yah. Glorious garments of Yah. No spots on them. No wrinkles on them. Because y'all know if y'all ass go to a party and you got a smudge on your white garment, you're going to be pissed off. And you're going to be looking around, worried about who all going to see that thing, who all going to see that stain. But there's one stain that you don't want to be seen. It's that stain on your garment when you make it to the kingdom, because that stain can probably get your ass kicked out. So the best thing you need to do is make sure you're very careful in how you're dealing. That way you won't inherit a stain when you try to walk before him. Be sure your sins go before you. Damn sure not after you. But glorious garments, glorious garments from Yah. 2:42-47, continuing. And I, Ezra, is the RSV, by the way, saw on Mount Zion a great multitude, which I couldn't number. And they all were praising Yah, praising him with songs. In their midst was a young man of great stature, taller than any of the others, and on the head of each of them he placed a crown. But he was more exalted than they. And I was held spellbound. I was just shocked. This man is laying crowns upon all of them. Everyone is receiving their reward. Don't forget the wicked receive the rewards too. Then I asked the angel, who are these, my master? Who are they? He answered and said to me, these are they who have put off the mortal clothing, garments, and have put on the immortal. And they have confessed the name of Yah. Now they are being crowned and receiving palms. Now think about this. They have confessed the name of Yah. And we've escaped from a stupid religion that makes us believe that just confessing him is only required verbally. But we've crossed over by way of the election of Yah, by way of the mercy, the tender mercy of Yah, to hear a man of Yah, and now that man of Yah ordained men of Yah. We can hear the men of Yah, and we can be a true tribe and family and live his way, keep his laws, statutes, commandments, but definitely not forget the last six of those commandments, which is towards your fellow man. So your lifestyle and your conversation, okay, is how you confess him. Your footsteps, your walk is how you confess him. And you receive a crown up on your head from the one that elected you. Then I said to the angel, who is that young man who places crowns on them and puts palms in their hands? He answered and said to me, he is the Son of Yah, whom they confessed in the world. So I began to praise those who had stood so valiantly. They stood, man, for the name of Yahweh. Oh, they stood. You got to stand. What Pastor Corey told us. Are you going to stand? Stand, Israel. Let's stand. Stand for righteousness. Stand for mercy because he gave us mercy. Just stand, man. Oh, hallelujah. I'm not missing his reign. I want to reign with him, y'all. Hallelujah. I want to reign with the Most High Yah. I do not want to miss him. I don't want to miss him. And I feel sorry, well, actually not sorry, for those who want to miss him. But I ain't missing it with you. Forget it. Forget that. His reign going to be glorious, saints. His reign is going to be glorious. Hallelujah. And I'm not looking back. Matthew 10. 32:33. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, that means into this day, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. Oh yeah. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. So I'm going to make it. But they just ain't staying. Some are here confessing with their mouth, but they're not confessing in their heart. Some of you saints are here pretending. Stage playing. Some of y'all are not being serious. Not willing to give all. Not willing to step off your little high horse and your milk crate to get under some leadership. Some of y'all don't want to give up nothing. Meaning, not just giving up your merchandise or whatever, but also your lifestyle. I ran into people like that before that came to the ministry at one point. But giving up their home, giving up their wife, giving up their children, or giving up their substance, giving up their job. That was too much. So basically what they're saying in a nutshell was the kingdom ain't worth that gig. The kingdom ain't worth what this house I just bought. The kingdom ain't worth these couple cars I just got. The kingdom ain't worth my career because, I just got this, man. I just started making this here money. I can't really give that up right now. If the Yah understands, don't come to me with that shit. Because I started making six figures at 22 years old. Me. Peter Greg. Yes, sir. Down there in Texas. And the day I got challenged with choosing the kingdom or choosing my career, they knew I wasn't full of crap. So enough. Man came to me, pissed off at me because they couldn't get me to come in on the Sabbath. Man came to me, tried to intimidate me. Gregory, you're going to come. Oh, yes, you're going to come here Friday night. You're going to work the weekend. Yes, you are. I laughed real quick. Just laughed, a little short giggle. I looked at him dead in his face. I said, you don't even know who you're talking to. This is my supervisor. I told him straight up, you don't know who you're talking to. In my mind, a child of the king. Next thing you know, he's like, what are you trying to say? I said, you can't get you. You can't get your boss and your boss's boss or any other army around here to keep me from breaking the Shabbat. Try me. And that sucker tried me too. got me in the office. Five times when I worked the shell, five times is a termination. I got written up four times, y'all. Four times. Because I would not break Shabbat for them. I refused. I refused to turn my back on my Elohim that gave me not only life, but chose me to understand, opened up my understanding, to understand there's a better kingdom coming, better than what this earth can provide. And as soon as I sat there and told them, I said, you can write me up all you want. Put me in all the meetings you want. I guarantee none of y'all gonna get me to break Shabbat. Try me again. After that fourth write-up, the fifth was coming. And that dude was like, yes, I got this nigga. I got him. Next thing you know, we get in the office. But little did he know. See, Yahweh pressed me in my heart. Go study. Go study every law. Go study all these laws from Texas, all the EOCC laws, every law you got. Highlight it all. Bring it to that meeting. Call his manager. I called his boss. I said, hey, we got a meeting coming up. Is it 12 o'clock? I think you should be there. Oh, okay, I'll be there. I'm in the plant. We get there, and they got representation for me and everything, and even the person that they had to represent me. I told him, I don't need you to represent me. I got this. And he said, you sure? I said, I'm positive. And you know what that man came to me and told me? He said, Greg, can I talk to you? What you got? Come here. Are you willing to risk your career for this religion? I told him the same thing. I said, you don't know who you're talking to, man. I said, I ain't losing nothing today. I said, but something about to happen in this meeting. You just come on and sit. I don't need you to say nothing. You just sit there and you watch me handle up. There's somebody greater than me that's going to be in there with me. You just watch. I walk right back in that meeting. This my manager had the last write-up, the fifth write-up, ready to go. Next thing you know, his boss was sitting there like, well, what do you got to say about this, Greg? You got a lot of accusations against you. And I said, hey, I got it. I pulled out all them stack of laws, everything that he was breaking against me, everything he was breaking against Texas, everything he was breaking, everything. I took it all out. I said, hey, here you go. You a multi-billion dollar company. You really want this suit? His manager sat there and said, oh, wait a minute. Flipping through them laws and stuff like that, he knew it was a case right then and there. Boom, just like that. He looked straight at my manager and said, this is the type of man that you should have on your team. But you're treating him like this? And I said, oh, wait a minute. Time out, guys. Hold on. And I reached over the table, grabbed his paperwork that he was trying to use against me with all the write-ups. I said, he go, give my stuff back. I said, uh-uh. Your evidence has just become mine because this is the four times you violated my rights and put it right there with my stack. Now he had nothing to stand on, but I had everything to stand on. And the king right there with me. And instead of getting fired that day, look how good the king is. Standing on the word, standing in his righteousness, believing that he got me, believing that he's not going to ever, ever, ever leave my side. He's not going to leave me. He's not going to forsake me. That day I got promoted rather than fired because his supervisor was so damn impressed with the way I handled that meeting. He said, Greg, I got positions up here in the office. He said, I can use somebody like you up here. What do you say? And we're more flexible. We don't mind you keeping your Sabbath day and your feast days, whatever you're doing. We're more flexible up there. What do you say? I say, hey, I'll take it. I'll take the offer. Absolutely. Sure did. Took that offer. And I was sitting there in supervision. And that asshole of a boss I had, guess what? I was lateral to him. So he couldn't talk no mess no more. Now I can see you out of eye, punk. Everything you tried to do to me done backfired on you because you didn't believe that I believed in my Messiah. Again, six figures, whatever, career, whatever. Look at what we read today. The king is going to give us a kingdom. We going to reign with him. When New Jerusalem come, ain't nothing a career can get me that's going to be better than that. Ain't nothing this earth can provide is going to be better than the kingdom. Ain't nothing this world can give me that's going to make me choose them over my Yah. Not one bit. Not one bit whatsoever at all. I was ready to stand, and I was willing to lose in order to gain. I was willing. I was ready to lose it, man. I was ready to lose it all. And there were so many damn friends, so-called, so many family members, so-called, that was, what do you think you're doing? You risking this, you risking that. That must be your God then. I don't worship him no more. Have you forgotten? I don't eat what you eat. I don't think how you think. I don't do what you do. I've been where you are. You just too afraid to cross over. And the thing that you fear, I wasn't about to fear that. Because had I feared that, I probably wouldn't be sitting here before you today. Thanks be to Yah that we're here, though. Because I'm too far. I've gone too far in this to turn my back on it. And I'm not going to let some filthy offense, I'm not going to let some raggedy habit or whatever get me out of his kingdom or make me miss his reign. Not going to do it, y'all. Neither should you. The king is coming, saints. The king is coming. New Jerusalem is coming. The Father is going to be here. And the dead that died in Christ Jesus will rise first. And then we going to be caught up with them and be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. And I refuse to miss it on that day. Let's make sure we continue to strive. Strive to make it to the kingdom. How we sing it. We're going to the kingdom. Yes, we are going. We are going. We are going, and I want to see you, you, and you there. I want to see you there so we can listen to all the patriarchs talk, so we can hear all our forefathers tell us all these things we've written. They can give it to us in full context. So we can make it there to be with all those who passed on before us that love the Messiah, that died in Messiah. We can see him again. Saints, I pray all is well with each and every last one of you. I love you all. Bless you all. Now you can tend your Super Bowl. I'm just messing with y'all, saints. Bless y'all so very well. I love you, saints. Shalom, shalom. Love y'all. I pray this has encouraged y'all, especially on the heels of that message that Pastor Dow gave. But go back and listen to Pastor Dow's message. Go back and listen to that hold fast. Go back and listen to that blog talk. We just got nothing but edification all week long. We in the best ministry in the world. Got the best pastors in the world. We got the best saints in the world. You got the best family in the world. Man, let's make it to the kingdom. Bless y'all. In the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you.
Hey, Pastor Teach.